Gemara Makot. Masechet Makot has been donated anonymously in honor of Morris Dweck, Sammy Esses, Yaron Mizrahi, and Tuvi Asis for their endless work for the Kahal Kadosh, Bet Yaakov. May Hashem give them continued strength in order to serve the Kahal and the community, the Shem Shamayim, in good health and prosperity and shalom. Amen. Daf Chaf. Today's daf is being studied. Le'ilu Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihinu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. Refuah Shelema. Dina Bat Sara. Elna Refanala Refuat Nefesh Urfuat Guf. Urfuata Kerobadabo. Vechen Yirason Venomar. Amen. We begin today's daf on Yud Tet Amud Bet, and we are three lines after they get wide. Amar Rab Ase Amar Rab Yohanan Ma'asir Sheni Me'ematai Hayavim Alav, which means if, let's say, you ate Ma'asir Sheni outside the walls of Jerusalem. Let's review. Ma'asir Sheni, you have to eat inside the walls of Yerushalayim. Let's say a person ate it outside the walls of Yerushalayim. So at what stage is he going to be hayav? So the Gemara says, Mishira'a penea homa. Once the ma'asir went inside the wall, once it was in Jerusalem, finished. And then it comes out, then you're hayav. Which means if it never went into the wall to start off with, and you ate it outside, you're not going to be hayav. Ma'asir is only hayav when it went in, and it came back out. My ta'amad amar kera. Lefnei Hashem Elohecha tochelenu. It says you have to eat the ma'aseh in front of Hashem. That means in Yerushalayim. Uchtiv. And then it also says, lo tuchal le'echol b'sha'arecha. That you're not allowed to eat it in your own gates. So the Gemara connects the two pesukim. Kol hecha dekarinam be'lefnei Hashem Elohecha tochelenu. So long as we can fulfill the pasuk, that you have to eat it in front of God. Meaning, so long as the ma'aseh was in Yerushalayim, at least one time, Karina be'lo tuchal le'chol b'sha'arecha. So then the other pasuk applies that now you're not allowed to eat it in your own gates. V'chol hecha de'lo karina be'lefnei Hashem Elohecha tochelenu. But if it never got to the stage that we were able to eat it because it never got into Yerushalayim, lo karina be'lo tuchal le'chol b'sha'arecha. So the law of eating it outside does not apply. So again, the basic rule is over here that only once the ma'aser got in to Yerushalayim, then if it goes out, you're not allowed to eat it. Meshenkin, if it never got it in the first place, so then it's mutar. Meti ve Rabbi Yose Omer. The Rabbi Yose says, Kohen sha'alta biyato te'ena shel tevel. You have a Kohen. Let's say he has in his hands te'ena shel tevel. A fig of tevel. Tevel means nothing. No terumot and ma'asot were taken. Amar, so the Kohen says, te'ena zu, this te'ena, terumata bi'uksa. I'm taking terumah. He separates the terumah. The terumah will be in the orchids by the stem. So the terumah is in there, but it's already separated. Ma'asir rishon b'sfona. Ma'asir rishon is going to be in the northern part of it, of the fig. Ma'asir sheni l'terumah, and ma'asir sheni will be in the southern part of it. V'hi shnat ma'asir sheni v'hu b'Yerushalayim. Let's say it's the Ma'asir Shini year, and he's in Yerushalayim. Or Ma'asir Ani, or it's the Ma'asir Ani year, Vihu Bigbulin, and he's outside. The point is, he separated everything. He separated Terumah, he separated Ma'asir Rishon, and he separated Ma'asir Shini, and he was in Jerusalem. Or Ma'asir Ani, if it's that year, and he doesn't have to be in Jerusalem to eat the Ma'asir Ani. Now, Achala, now he eats the fig. So let's see, what is he going to be Hayav, this Kohen? So that says, Loke Ahat. He only gets one malkut. Let's read the top Rashi. Why should he get one malkut? Delo hotzia miyad tevel bekriat shem ze. Because even though he took terumah and he took ma'aser rishon and he separated ma'aser sheni, there's one part that he did not separate, and that's ma'aser min ma'aser. Because in the ma'aser rishon, there has to be another ma'aser that's separated and given to the Kohen. So he did not separate that, and therefore it's still tevil. And therefore by eating it, well, he's allowed to eat the terumah. So he's a Kohen. So the fact that he ate the fig, and there was terumah in there, no problem, he's a Kohen. The fact that he ate ma'asir rishon, it's also okay, because ma'asir rishon is okay if a zar eats it. The fact that he ate ma'asir sheni, and he's in Jerusalem,
also no problem. Umasir ani, and he's even outside Jerusalem, also no problem. But the problem is, he did not separate the ma'asir min ma'asir. He did not take the ma'asir that he's supposed to give to the Levi. That was not separated out. That's the way that she explains it. Oh, continue the Gemara. Vizar she'achala. However, if a non-Kohen did the same thing, ate the fig, and he separated the terumah, and the ma'asir rishon, the ma'asir sheni, lokesh shtayim. Okay, so now he's going to get two sets of malkuyot. Why is he going to get two sets of malkuyot? She'idu b'techila achala eno loke ela achat. Because if he would have eaten it initially without even separating anything, he would have gotten one off the bat because of tevin. And now he gets an extra. So besides the fact that he ate tevin, because even if he didn't anything, he gets tevil, isur. And now also because he ate teruma, he's not a Kohen. So he gets a malkut for tevil, just stam, because he didn't take out all the entitlements. And also he gets an isur of eating teruma because he is a non-Kohen. Okay, so comes the Gemara and says, that's the chidush. Who said this? Chidush over here. This was the chidush of Rabbi Yosef. Now the Gemara starts making diuki. Tamad ite birushalayim. The only reason why he gets two is because he was in Yerushalayim. So he gets the tevin, he gets the terumah one. Habig bulim, we can make an implication. But if he was outside of Yerushalayim, lokesh shalosh, he'll get three. He'll get the isur of terumah, he'll get the isur of tevin, and he'll get the isur of eating ma'asir sheni outside of Yerushalayim. Even though this fig was never in Jerusalem, which was, if you learn the case that everything happened outside Jerusalem, it's mashma for Rabbi Yosef. This was only talking about Yehubi Yerushalayim. Mashma that if this story happened outside Yerushalayim, he wouldn't get two sins, two malkuyot, he'd get three. He'd get a third one for eating ma'asir sheni outside Yerushalayim, even though it never went in. So you see over here a question on the statement that we opened up the Gemara with today. We learned that Ma'asir Sheni is only Chayav if you eat it outside, if it was inside first. And then it came out. But if it never went inside, you're not going to be Chayav. So Ma'asir Sheni Rabbi Yosef said that only because this was in Yerushalayim he gets two. But if it was outside Yerushalayim, and this whole story happened, he'd get three. The Gemara says, no, the Aile ve'afke. The case is talking about where he took the fig in Jerusalem, so it entered Jerusalem, and then he took it out. That's what's going to be Hayav 3 if it leaves Jerusalem. Because it was in Jerusalem and then it went out. So it'll be Hayav for Terumah, it'll be Hayav for Tebel, it'll be Hayav for Ma'asir Sheni. So Gemara says, if that's the case, my lememra, what is the Hidush? Which means, what's the Hidush of Rabbi Yosef's implication? Look at Rashi. Ihache my lememra. Tibishta ma'iyah mat Ma'asir Sheni b'gbulin lo keshalosh. אף אגב דלו חזה פני החומה השמעין הטובה דחייבים עליו אף פי שלא ראה פני חומה, which means if you want to tell me that you חייב מעשר שני even if it never saw the wall, then Rabbi Yosef you tell me a big חידוש, that you tell me a zav that ate it in Jerusalem is חייב too, and your implication is very very profound, because your implication is telling me what if you ate it outside and nothing ever went inside, you may be חייב 3. That's a חידוש. וצריך למתניע משום דיוקה דידה, and that's what you have to tell me. The statement, because of the diuk, is a big chadush, a big bulim. But if you tell me the case is about when you brought the fig in Jerusalem and then you took it out, we don't need it. Which is otherwise, there's no chadushim in his statement. What do you tell me? The Kohen is Hayaf for the table? We know that already. What do you tell me? Zar is Hayaf for Terumah? We know that already. Elawa, Rabbi Yosef must have been telling me chidush in his statement. What's the chidush? Unless you tell me his chidush was that you hayav two if all the story happened in Jerusalem. But if the fig never got into Jerusalem, the chidush is going to be hayav 3. That's a chidush. So the Gemara says, the island of Afke. No, you brought it in, you took it out. So there's no chidush in that. The Gemara says, Yachem ala memra. He goes, Hachem ha'askinan. Kegon de Ailinu betivlayu. That's the Hadush. The fig went into Jerusalem when it was still Tevil, which means you did not separate anything from it. It went in Tevil, and then you took it out, and then you designated the ma'aser sheni. And the hadush is v'kasavar matanot shelo hurmu kemi shehurmu damyan. That's the hadush. That matanot that were not separated yet, it's considered as if they were separated, and therefore we consider it as if the ma'aser sheni entered Jerusalem, even though you never designated it. And now when it comes out, you're going to be Hayab Malkut when, once you separate it and eat it. So that's the Chidush, which means there would be no Chidush if the guy brought the fig into Jerusalem, designated Ma'asir Sheni, and then brought it out. Of course you're going to be Hayab in that Ma'asir Sheni. It entered. Once it comes out, you're not Hayab to eat it. Yeah, you're Hayab to eat, Hayab if you eat it. Not allowed to eat it. The Chidush over here is you brought the fig in, you didn't say anything. It was total tevil. However, he holds that once the item goes in, it's as if all the items went in. Ma'aser went in, Terumah went in, etc. And therefore, Kimishi Hurmu Damyan. Therefore, it's considered as if the Ma'aser Sheni, that's inside of the fig, that was not designated yet, went in. And therefore, when you take it out, you're going to be Hayaf. So that is the Hiddush. Again, Matanot Shelo Hurmu, Kimishi Hurmu Damyan. That potentially, since it's inside, even though you never designated it, is as if Hurmu. Gemara says, "V'savar b'Yoseh matanot shelo hurmu kemi shehurmu dame." Does Rabbi Yoseh indeed hold such a concept that even though they were not separated, it's as if they were separated? V'atanya, we have a brayta. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda omer mishum Rabbi Yoseh lo nechleku bet Shammai ubet Hillel al perot shelo negbera melachtan ve'avru birushanayim. There's no mahlok between Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel on perot shenigbera melachtan, which means you finish their work, meaning you piled them up, you made minuah hakli, you smoothened the pile, which means now they're going to be hayav and ma'aser, and they went into Yerushalayim and they left Yerushalayim. Everybody agrees in that case over there, she padeh, that you have to make pinyon ma'asir sheni shelahen v'yachel bechol makum, which means again the case talking about v'shelon nigmera melachta, which means if there was no gmar melacha, so they were not hayav in ma'asir, and if you brought it into Jerusalem, doesn't mean anything because there was no hayuv bechlal before gmar melacha. And now you took it out of Jerusalem, everybody agrees you can still make pidyon. Because now designate the Ma'asir Sheni and make a pidyon. There's no question over there. Which means, since there's no Gemar Melacha, you weren't Hayab Lafrish. And therefore, you can't come along and say it was Ki'ilu Hufrishu when it went into Jerusalem. And therefore you won't be able to make pidyon. No, it wasn't Hayab Bichlal, because it was no Gemar Melacha. There's no Mahlokra on that case over there. However, al manich liku, where's the machlok Bet Shammai Bet Hillel al perot shenigmera melachtan? Oh, on perot that already had gemar melacha, ve'avru birushalayim, and they went out of Jerusalem, and then only after they went out of Jerusalem, you separated. Bet Shammai umrim. Bet Shammai comes along and says, sorry, too late. Yahzir ma'asir sheni shalem v'yachim Yerushalayim. You got to bring it back into Yerushalayim. Because Bet Shammai is the one that holds that even though it was not Huram, it's considered as if it was Huram. And therefore you do not have the ability to make pidyon outside Yerushalayim anymore. Bet Hillel, Omrim, Bet Hillel says, no problem. Yipadeh v'yachir b'chol makom. Bet Hillel says, doesn't matter. Since it was not taken in Jerusalem, so therefore you brought it outside, no problem. Make a pidyon on the Ma'aser Sheni and eat it b'chol makom. And therefore, you see that what Bet Hillel holds, that even though it went into Jerusalem, it's not considered anything. And therefore, Mistama Rabbi Yoseh holds like Bet Hillel. We don't want to make Rabbi Yoseh hold like Bet Shammai. Now, v'is al kadatach, matanot shelo hurmu kemi shehurmu damyan. If you're going to hold like Rabbi Yoseh wants to say, that what? That matanot shelo hurmu is kemi shehurmu, that even though you didn't take it out, you took it out yet. Hakaltuhu mechitzot. What are you talking about? Went into the mechitzot. And therefore, you shouldn't be able to make pidyon. Ela, from the fact that Bet Hillel says that even though it went into the walls, you're still allowed to make pidyon. Obviously, he holds that matanot shelo hurmu is not kemi shehurmu damyan. And therefore, we have a question on Rabbi Yosei. How could you say that he holds that it's considered kemi shehurmu, and that's why you're going to be hayav three, because he ate the masach in the outside? You see, from Bet Hillel, not like that. Amar Abba. So Rabba comes along and says, there's a hiluk over here. Mechitza le'echol de'oraita. which means the law that says that the wall of Jerusalem is considered the mechitza legabe eating ma'aser shni, you have to eat ma'aser shni within the wall, that's already a din deoraita. That means once already it entered the wall of Jerusalem, mid deoraita, you're not allowed to eat it outside. Like we learned in today's Gemara. Once it enters Jerusalem, finished. Assume deoraita to eat it outside. And therefore, on a deoraita law, Rabbi Yosef is going to be strict. Not only if the ma'aser shini entered, but even if the fig entered Yerushalayim and you didn't take the ma'aser yet, we're going to say kemi shehur mudami, and we're going to be machmir and not let you eat it outside of Yerushalayim. We're going to say kemi shehur mu legabe deoraita legabe eating. However, mechitza leklot, the law that says that the wall, when the fig or the fruit or the ma'aser shini enters, or the product enters Yerushalayim, once it enters Yerushalayim, you're not going to be able to make pidyon anymore outside Yerushalayim. The pidyon law, the law of redeeming, that's a law mid Rabbanan. The Rabbanan. V'chi gazu Rabbanan. When did the rabbis make a gezerah mid Rabbanan? Ki ita be'ani, that's when the ma'aser shini is there physically. When the ma'aser shini entered Yerushalayim, oh, now once it leaves, sorry, no more pidyon. However, b'tible lo gazu Rabbanan. But Betilel was not Mahmid in the potential. Therefore, if the product just entered Yerushalayim, and you didn't make a Maser, so it's Lohuram, so it will allow you to make Pidyon when it comes out of Yerushalayim. So again, Betilel and it was talking about one subject, and Rabbi Yosef was talking about another subject. Rabbi Yosef was talking about the law of eating. The law of eating is a deoraita law. Once it enters, you cannot eat it after it leaves. So therefore, we're going to be mahmir even if you didn't separate it, but we're going to say it's kemisha hurmu, and we're not going to let you eat it outside. But Talil was talking about the law of pidyon, that once something enters Yerushalayim, you cannot make pidyon outside of Yerushalayim. That's the din of banan. So it's only going to be mahmir what? When there's actually ma'aser shini behind that entered Yerushalayim. But ma'aser shini in potential that entered Yerushalayim, when it comes out, but Talil will still allow you to make a pidyon. They were indeed talking about two different subjects. Ravina Amar, Ravina comes along and says a different answer. He says, oh, really, I'll tell you, there's no difference between the law of eating it outside Yerushalayim and making pidyon. So then the question is, what's the case of Rabbi Yosef? Why did he say, or why did he imply, that if you eat it outside of Yerushalayim, you're going to be Hayav 3? Hare, according to Betelel, it's considered as if you didn't take ma'aser yet. And therefore, if you didn't take the ma'aser, it's kishelo hurmu, so therefore you should not be hayav 3 if it came out. So what's the case? Why, according to Rabbi Yosef, you're going to be hayav 3? Gemara says, kegon de nakit le bekanya. The guy was holding the ma'aser sheni on a stick, which means he entered Yerushalayim, but the ma'aser sheni was holding on a stick outside of Yerushalayim, and the Chiddush Rabbi Yosef is coming to teach me that this is considered as if the Ma'aser Sheni entered Yerushalayim. That since he is in Yerushalayim, even though he's not holding the Ma'aser Sheni on his shoulders, even though he has it on his stick, so the Chiddush of Rabbi Yosef is it's considered in, and therefore when he comes out, he's not going to be allowed to eat it. If he's a Zad, he's going to be Hayav for eating the Ma'aser Sheni, because the Chiddush is that even though it's on a stick, it's considered as if it's inside. Now, we had a question on this yesterday. The Gemara had this exact question yesterday and leave it in the teku. So the Chiddush of Rabbi Yosef, the Gemara concludes, Tefshot ba'yad ha-papa. And you could solve the question of the papa that we had on yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf, we had a question, how do you consider ma'asishin that the guy's holding on a stick over his shoulder outside Yerushalayim? Do you go after the stick? Do you go after the guy? Is it considered it entered or not? So the Chiddush of Rabbi Yosef is, from here we can solve the question that's considered it did enter, and therefore, once he goes out, he's not going to be allowed to eat it anymore because it's considered it entered. Everybody would agree, but they would agree to this law also. If it's considered it entered, he will not be allowed to eat it outside. That's why you're going to be Hayav 3 for Zah, it'll be Hayav for Terumah, for Tebil, and for Ma'asir Sheni. Comes the next Mishnah. We are learning again more laws that you're going to be Hayav Malkut. If, of course, the person does it, Bemezid, and they gave him Hatra'ah. Hakoreya Korha Birosho. This is a person that pulls out hair from his head. Somebody died, so the guy's in a lot of grief. So how does he show his grief? He starts to pull out hair from his head. So he's going to get an Isur. As the Torah says, Velo Tasimu Korha Bin Enechem Lamit. That means you're not allowed to place a bald spot in your Ben Enechem, literally between your eyes, for a dead person, not only one of the dead persons that are related to you, for any dead person. Now, even though the pasuk says ben einichem, what sounds like only between your eyes, but the Gemara is going to learn that it means any place on your head. You're not allowed to pull out hair in order to show as a sign of grief. But we'll wait for the Gemara to say that. That mekif pe'at rosho, if a person, let's say, shaves or cuts off the pe'ah of his head, the corner of his head, which means he takes the hair off on the, we call them the sideburns, and he makes it equal with the back of his ear, which means, will you be just like in the back of his ear, he has no hair, right? So draw a straight line across from the back of the ear across and cut the hair off there as well, which was the sideburn. So now already he made like a circle. His hair is a circular. There's nothing coming down from the sides, right? So it's like a mushroom. So it says over there, makif pe'at rosho, the guy cuts his pe'ot off. So it's assuming that not, no takifu pe'at roshchem. V'meshchit pe'at zekano. For that matter, a person shaves the corner of his beards. Also, it says, lo tashchit pe'at zekanecha. That's also a sort of has soret. That's a person takes his fingernails, or a keli, or whatever it is, and he makes a scratch in his skin, or on another part of his body. That's called a sirita. Again, he's doing it because of tsa'ar that he has, and he's causing himself to bleed, even if he does, the Mishnah says, vasoyat sirita achat. If he did it ala met, again, as a tsa'ar for a met, so he's going to get an issue. Like it says in the pasuk, v'seret da nefesh, lo titanu b'msarchem. The din of the Mishnah, in all these cases is hayav. Again, all these cases is hayav. Now the Gemara Mishnah continues. Sarat sirita achat. Al hamisha metim. Let's say he made one sirita, one scratch on his body in pain for five different metim, but he did it in one shot. Or hamis siritot, or he did five scratchings al met achat. Now, even though he did it in one shot, we'll see how he can do it in one shot, and he did it with one warning, then he was warned, don't do this item, you're going to be hayav. So hayav al kol achat ve achat. It's going to be hayav for each one. Again, the Gemara is going to, it doesn't matter whether he did one sirita for five people or five siritot for one. The Gemara is going to have to explain exactly how this case applies. Last part of the Mishnah, ala rosh, which means when it comes to taking off the peot, the sideburns, which means even if, let's say, he cut off both sideburns with one warning, which means he did with his right hand, he did, even in Bevat Ahat, with his right hand, he took off his right sideburn, and with his left hand, he did his left one. So he's going to be chayav. The Mishnah says, shtayim. You get two malkuyot. Ahat mikan, ve'ahat mikan. Which means, it's considered two separate isurim. And therefore, you're going to get two different malkuyot. So it says, ala zakan. However, if let's say he shaves his beard, so you're going to be hayav. We said there's five places. So let's say he did it in one shot. So shtayim mikan, ushtayim mikan, ve'achat milimata. Well, when it comes to doing the beard, it's hard to do it in one shot because you need some type of apparatus that can catch all the five spots on the beard in one shot. So the Mishnah is not talking about a case where he did it in one shot. It's just giving me the scenario. You have two shtayim, that's mikan on the right side, shtayim, and two more spots, two more malkuyot on the other side, mikan, and then one milimata, that's underneath, like by the chin. So the Gemara is going to explain all these five spots when it comes to pe'at hazakan, and therefore if a person shaves his whole face by the beard, so it can be chayav five. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Im netelo kulan ke'ahat. He says, no. If let's say a person shaved some of his peot in one shot, Enu hayav ela achat. He's only going to be hayav one. Whereas Tana Kama is going to hold that you're going to be hayav as many as you did in one shot. Rabbi Eliezer says that if you did it all in one shot, you're only going to be hayav one by the by zakan. Then the Gemara again is going to explain all these opinions. Last point of the Mishnah between Tanakama and Abidi Eisen. Tanakama, he didn't tell us how. Actually, Tanakama is going to tell us now. When you're shaving your peot, when you're shaving your beard, what type of shaving is it? So it says ve'enu hayav achi tadenu beta'ad, means only with a razor. Abidi Eisen omer, no, not only a razor. Afilu deketo b'malket or b'rehitani. These are different type of apparatuses that are not razors. It's like a plane or something else. Indeed, it's going to be hayav. Now the Gemara begins. Now, the first isur in the Mishnah, which we're going to analyze in today's daf, is the isur of korha. Lo yikrihu korha al met. You're not allowed to pull out hair. Korha is baldness. You're not allowed to pull out hair as a sign of grief for a dead body. Now, this isur was written twice in the Torah. It's written once in Vayikra, and it's talking to the Kohanim specifically. Part of the Isurim that the Kohanim are allowed to do is a Kohen is not allowed to pull out his hair for a mit. And then in Devarim, we have the similar Pasuk, and it's talking to all of Israel. So again, it's very important to remember, there's two Pasukim of Korha. One was said to the Kohanim, and one to all Israel. Now basically what the Gemara is going to do over here, it's going to connect and compare the two Pesukim, the one that was written by the Kohen and the one that was written by the Israel. And we're going to learn the laws of the Kohen from the Israel and the laws of the Israel to the Kohen. And we're going to apply both of them. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan. Tanu Rabbanan.
Lecture mode on.
Lo Yikrihu. The Pasuk says in Vayikra by the Kohanim that they're not allowed to make a bald spot. Now, Yachol afilu karach arba v'chamesh kirichot. Let's say he makes four or five different spots. Lo yeh hayav ela achat. You think you're only going to be hayav one isur? Talmud omar korha. So the Torah says a double language. Lo yikrihu korha. The pasuk could have just written lo yikrihu. The fact that it repeats korha lehayev al kol korha v'korha. There's going to be hayav indeed for each one. That's what we learned from Korha. Now, Berosham, it says in the Pasuk again, in Vayikra, Lo Yikrihu Korha Berosham. By the Kohanim, it says, do not make a bald spot in their head. Matamudomar, what is it coming to teach me? Which means, what is the Hiddush of Korha Berosham? So it says, Lefish in Emar, because it says when it's talking to Yisrael in Devarim, it says, Lo tidgodidu, do not make a blemish on your flesh. Velotasimu korha bin einechem lamet. It's mashma, by Yisrael, you only hayav if you make the bald spot between einechem. Let's say in the place where the tefillin is. Don't pull out hair over there, bin einechem. Yachod o yehayav, ela al ben ha'inayim bilvat. Do you think that this hayuv of lo yikrihu korha only applies to ben ha'inayim? Minayin rabot kodarosh. How do I know it applies to anywhere on the head? Talmud omar berosham. That's why it says by the Kohanim, berosham, to teach me anywhere in the head. Lerabot kodarosh. To come and tell me any place in the rosh. Ve'en li ela bekohanim. Yeah, but maybe I'll say that the only law that says that the whole head is part of the Isur, maybe that only applies to the Kohanim. Shriba bahena katu mitzvot yeterot. Because anyway, we know the Kohanim have extra mitzvot than a regular Israel. So maybe we're being more mahmir by the Kohen that it applies to his whole head, just like we're mahmir in other things. Yisrael minayin. How do we know that even by Israel, the whole head is in the Isur? So it says, Ne'emar kan. By Israel, it says the word korha. Ve'ne'emar daran, it says by Kohanim, korha. So we make a gezer hashava. Ma lehalan, just like by the Kohanim, hayav al kol korha v'korha, we proved from the extra word korha, you're going to be hayav for each one. So too, v'chen hayav al arosh, and similarly, you hayav on the whole rosh, keben anayim, just as like you hayav between the eyes. So afkan, so too by Israel, hayav al kol korha v'korha, you're going to be hayav for each korha, al malkut b'fnei atzma, V'chayav al arosh kemen ha'inayim. And the Gemara continues, Uma lehalan. And just like by a Yisrael, the Pasuk says, Al-met, because over there it says by the Yisrael, it says, Lo yikrihu korha al-met. Afkan, so too by the Kohanim, It's only going to be al met, only when you do it at sa'ar for a met.
So comes the Gemara now and continues. So basically what the Gemara did over there was it compared the laws of Korcha by Israel to the laws of Korcha by a Kohen. Now the Gemara says, we learned from the case of Korcha, that what, you're going to be hayav for each one, whether you do it four times, five times, we hayav malkut. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the case? Hane arba v'chamesh kirichot echidame. What's the case you're going to be hayav? Ilema beze acharzeu b'chamesh hatraot pshita. If it's talking about where he did them one after the other, and he got five separate warnings, pshita. Of course you're going to be hayav five malkuyot. I don't need a Gemara to tell me such a chedush. Isn't it obvious? For every time you get a warning, you get a malkut if the guy transgresses it. So what's the chadush in that case? So the Gemara says, Ela, it's talking about over here, Behada hatra'a. The case is talking about that what? That he did five bald spots. He pulled out his hair five times with one warning, which means he got warned before the first time. So the Gemara says, Mimi hayef? You're not going to be hayav in such a case. Which means to be hayav malkut, you got to have a warning. You don't have a case of one warning to be hayav. Five malkuyot. How do you know that? Hatanam, we learned. Nazir shaya shotei yayin kol hayom. A nazir is not allowed to drink wine. Let's say he was drinking a lot of shiurim of wine the whole day. Right? But let's say they only warned him in the beginning, don't drink wine. And then he drank it if he ate. Then he drank another if he ate. Eno hayav ela hat. He's only chayav the first time after the first warning. Amnu lo al teshteh, al teshteh. But if they keep on giving him a new warning before he drinks, v'ushoteh chayav al kol achat v'achat. So of course he's going to be chayav on each one. The point is, you're not chayav until you drink after you receive your warning. So similarly over here in the case of Korcha, if you only got one warning, you're not going to be chayav five separate actions. So the Gemara says, chidush. Lo tzericha desach hamesh etzba'otav nasha. What did he do? First, he dipped his five fingers into a certain type of chemical that removes hair. It's called nasha, depilatory. So he stuck his fingers, five fingers, he has this stuff on it now that removes hair. Ve'odvinu, and he put his fingers on five separate spots of his head. Bevat achat, in one shot. And then the guy warned him, don't do that, don't put your fingers on your head, because you're going to cause to make the bald spots. So the warning is considered for each finger. And therefore it's considered like he got five warnings. Because again, he had five fingers already to make bald spots with this depilatory that's on his fingers. So he's ready to put it on his head. And the guy said, hey, don't do that, you're going to be chayav. So it's considered as if it's one warning, but it's considered as if he got five separate warnings. Comes the Gemara and says, "Vekama shiur korcha." How much hair do you have to pull out to be hayav? Ravuna ama omer. Ravuna says, "Kedeshira e mirosho," which means you have to pull enough hair out where you must see the scalp. You see the bald spot. Rabbi Yochanan omer mishum Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon kegris. Says no. The size of a grease. What is a grease? Grease is like a type of bean. So normally the bean is called a fool. Half of that size is called a grease. So it's a shi'ud. So Gemara says this is actually a machloket. Some of the grisa ketanae kama shi'ud kulha. What's the shiur of a korcha? One rabbi says kegris, aharim omrim kedesh yirae mirosho, where you actually can see the bald spot on the head. Amar avyuda bar habiba pedigiba tlata tanae. Actually, it's a three-way machloket on the shiur of korcha. Had omer kegris. One says the shiur is the size of a gris. Vehad omer kedesh yirae mirosho. And one says, you know, they can see his scalp. The third opinion says what? Even pulling out two hairs. There's one shita, one of the Amoraim takes out the opinion of two sa'arot, and he puts in the shi'ud of
adasha, the size of a lentil. So according to that opinion, you have the two opinions. Take out sa'arot, so you'll have adasha, and you'll have gris, and you'll have kedishira'e minosho. So again, you have to remember, you're taking out the opinion of shtei sa'arot, according to one opinion, and you're putting in the shi'ur of adasha. How do you remember that? The simanach. So you can remember the shi'urim, according to the second opinion. You could learn a remez from tzara'at. It says, baheret kigris, umihya v'adasha. Those are two types of tzara'at. Baheret, the shi'ur is a gris, and mihya is the shi'ur of a adasha. Which means that's how you'll remember that according to the second shita, the shi'urim are gris and adasha. That means you took out the opinion of shte sa'arot, and you put in adasha. And therefore you're left with what? Two other opinions are adasha and Greece, just like the shi'urim of by leprosy. So that's how you're going to remember which one you took out and which one you put in. You took out shtei sa'arot and you put in adasha. So you're left with what? Adasha and Greece. How do you remember that? So you remember it by the shi'urim of sarat. Okay, Tana anotel melo pi hazug b'shabbat hayav. Now we talk about the laws of Shabbat. If a person, let's say, b'shogeg on Shabbat, he removes hair from his body. Let's say the shi'ur of the point of the scissors. That's a milo piyazug. I mean the shi'ur of the point of the scissors where you cut. So it's going to be hayav. Maze hayav? Hayav chatat, if he did it b'shogeg. The Gemara asks, b'chama milo piyazug. How much hair is that? How much is that in hair? Amar of Yehuda, shtayim. It's considered two sa'arot. What are you talking about? In that same bright that says lekorha, when it comes to the isur of korha, of making a bald spot for a maid, when do you get malgud? Shtayim. It says two. That's mashma only for korha shtayim. It's mashma for Shabbat, which is piyazug. It's a different shi'ur. Which is why would it say for Shabbat piyazug? And you tell me that shtayim. Then it says korha shtayim. It's the same shi'ur. So the Gemara says, you're right, the Braita has to say that v'chen lekorcha, so too for korcha, you're going to be hayav too. And the Mishnah is explaining, on Shabbat, the Braita is explaining, on Shabbat you're going to hayav too. You're hayav piyazug. And what's piyazug? V'chen lekorcha, similarly by korcha, shtayim. So from the Braita we learned that piyazug is also shtayim. So both of them are two hairs. Tanya namecheh. הנותן מלא פיזוק בשבת חייב וכמה מלא פיזוק שתיים רבי אליעזר אומר אחת רבי אליעזר says even one hair that one removes on Shabbat is going to be חייב. At least, but from the first opinion you see that פיזוק is שתיים. Okay, comes the Gemara and says ומודים חכמים לרבי אליעזר. Everybody agrees, even Achamim will agree, that normally they say Hayav on Shabbat, two heirs. B'melaket lebanot b'toch she'orot. When a guy takes white hair, and he pulls a white hair from a black hair, afilu achat, even if he pulled out one white hair, shi'u hayav, he's going to be hayav, because that's already shi'ur chashuv, because a person doesn't want to look like an old man. So when he pulls out the one hair, to him, he's makpid on it. And therefore it's considered shi'ur hashuv, and therefore it's going to be hayav on Shabbat. But normally only hayav when you pull out two hairs, according to Hachamim. But if it's a white hair amongst the black, that's shi'ur hashuv, and it's going to be hayav. V'davar zeh afilu bechol asur. And by the way, pulling out white hairs amongst the black, that's asur even on the weekday. Mishum she'ne'emar lo yilbash gever simnat isha. Which means a man is not allowed to wear the dress of a lady. He's a man is not to act like a lady. And that's vain. Pulling out white hairs, you're doing something that's vanity. And therefore it's Isur Benatorah. Because you're making yourself beautiful like the ladies do. Tamekif Pe'at Rosh. Okay, now we learn the laws of Pe'ot. Tarabbanan. Pe'at Rosh. This one we said, the corner of the Rosh, which we said we call the Pe'ah, Sof Rosho. This is considered the end of the head. Literally, pe'ah means the end, the corner. So when we say pe'at arosh, means kserosh, the corner of the head, which means you have the area of the head, and then you have the face. So technically, they're saying where the head ends and the face begins, that's considered the pe'ah. So the Gemara is going to explain, where is that? Where is that spot? So it says, ze hamashve seda'av, that's a person that he pulls out the hair. Seda'av is by the temple. Temple is when you clench your teeth, you see that protrudes a little out, a little spot on the right and the left, that's a seda'av. Le'achore ozno, he makes that equal to the back of his ear, ulepadahto, and to his forehead. Which means, on your forehead you have no hair. Okay, we know that. On the back of your ear also, pulling your ear back, right? There's no hair over there. Now, you go from your forehead and draw a straight line on your forehead and to the back of your ear. So, as you draw that straight line from your forehead to the back of your ear, you're going to have to cross through some hair. When you cross through that hair, that's already the shi'ur. That's the place of the pe'ot. Which means when you're being mashveh, that means you're keeping the baldness on the forehead across to the pe'ah, to the back of the ear, which means it's all, you're making it like one total bald area. So that is considered the anyan of the pe'ah. Now she says, if you want to see the nashiha mashveh, sedarav la'achore ozno padachto, achore ozno en se'ar klum. The back of his ear, there's no hair. Vechem b'mitzho. For that matter, on his forehead, in se'ar klum, but in between, linking his forehead to the back of his ear, right in between that area, you have a some hair. Yes, se'ar. If he takes out all the hair from that spot, lemidat achore ozno, makiv sofarosh. That is taking off. That's called sofarosh. Because now you're being mashveh the padachat and the achore ozno, that's considered like you make a hakafah, you make like a circle, you go all the way around. Okay. So that is the shi'ur. Again, it should be pointed out from the Rivan. Again, I'm saying Rivan because remember yesterday's daf, Rashi left us. Now we have the Rivan that's explaining. So the Rivan, from the Rivan, it's Bashma, that it's only to where you took the whole, all of the hair, Natal Kol Se'ar. And you're not going to be over until you take all the hair. It's Mashma, the width and the length of the Shi'ur. Okay, and the poskim discussed that how much hair you have to take from the pe'ah. Again, I said from the divan, it's mashma. Again, from his lashon, v'notil kol ha'se'ar shebesedahav. You're taking the whole area. Tani tana. We have a amora that was fluent. He was an expert in the braytot. Kamed Rav Chasda. He learned in front of Rav Chasda. Ehad a makif ve'had a nikaf. That's hadush. That not only is the makif, the guy that's cutting the pe'ot off, but the one that's getting cut, the guy that's sitting there in the barber's chair, and he's getting cut, loke, he also gets a isur. Why? Because the Torah says, lo takifu. It says it in the plural language. And the fact that it says, lo takifu, it's two things. Do not cut the pe'ot, and do not let somebody else cut your pe'ot off. That's a big hadush. Amale. Man de achil tamre be'arbila lake, which means, are you telling me that if a guy eats dates in a kevara, in a sieve, are you going to get malkuyot? Of course not. Which means, just like if a guy eats dates, he doesn't get malkuyot. Why should he get malkut over here in this case either? The guy that's getting cut off, the nikaf, he didn't do a maaseh. And we know a lav she'embo ma'aseh, and no kinaf, the guy just sitting in the chair. The barber's cutting his pe'ot off. Which means, just like you don't get malkut for eating dates, he's saying it rhetorically. So too, why should you get malkut in this case over here? He didn't do anything. The amalach, mani, who's the shita that says this? The biudai. The amar, lav she'embo ma'aseh, no kin alav. Okay, fine. going like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that says that Lav Shem Maaseh, you get Malkut. So now we understand why you're going to be Hayav. Rava Omer, Rava says no. I'll tell you a different Shita. I don't want to say it's going like Rabbi Yehuda. Why should we make the Braita going like Da'at Yahid? Especially it's not the Halakha. B'makif le'atzmo v'devrei hakol. I could say it's going b'makif le'atzmo, where he did it to himself. He cut his pe'ot off. And therefore, he did a ma'aseh. He's going to be hayav too. He's the one that's cutting, he's the one that's being cut. And therefore, he's going to get two malkuyot, had a makif, ve'had a nikaf. Rav Ashi Omer, Rav Ashi comes up, gives the third answer. B'misayeya v'devrei hakol. It's talking about misayeya, which means he's helping. Let's say he's sitting in the barber's chair. But what? The guy that's sitting is tilting his head in order to bring it closer to the barber. So he's doing a ma'aseh. So he's misayeya. He's not just sitting there passively and the barber's grabbing his head. No, he's leaning his head towards the barber. So therefore, since he does a ma'aseh, so misayeya also be the drei hakol. Let's read Rashi. Let's start Rashi. The achil tamre ba'arba'a. I'm sorry, it's Rivan. Let's read the Rivan. The achle tamre ba'arbila. Ha'ochel tamrim bekevara. Yeh loke? Betmiya. Kelomar nikaf ma'pasha. Shu loke. What did he do, the nikaf? Lav she'bu ma'aseh, avi ve'lo l'ki. Tamar lecha mani, ashoe lecha. Keman ka'amat nikaf loke. Who's that going? Like, Eman Rabbi Yehudai. Tamar le'e lav she'bu ma'aseh lokin. Ma'enu lav she'bu ma'aseh. The nikaf is lav she'bu ma'aseh. The nikaf hu de ka'amat. Alav de lo takifu, de shamin al krachi lo takifu, lo tanihu lakif. Do not let yourself be cut. The maniyah lakif ke makif. The isur is because it says a double language. Lo takifu. Not only the makif but the nikaf. Ina me medafke but ashon abim nechtav lo takif ashon the atre kamazir. So the first part is lo takifu is do not let yourself be nikaf, and the second part is lo takifu is plural. Had the makif, had the nikaf. I tell Rav Shemu Maaseh. It's coming like Rabbi Yehuda. Rava Amar Lo Tzricha Tov Mek Rabbi Yehuda. Hak Braita. The Tani Tana Kamed Rav Hasda. The Kama Makif Dasmo. The Kama Shmalan. The Hayav Tarti. He's doing it to himself. So he's doing it to himself. It's Hayav Mishum Makif and Nikaf. Look at the next Rashi. Merivan Misayaya Mazmin Asarot Le Makif. My Mazmin. He's like he's moving his Sarot to the Makif, to the guy that's cutting it. So he's misayeya, which means either he's lifting his hair up, so therefore the guy can cut it easily, or he's moving his head towards the barber. In both these cases over there, indeed, he is going to be hayav. Comes the Gemara and continues, Mashchit pe'ad zekano. If the person is mashchit, is pe'ah of the zakan, taru rabbanan. Pe'ad zekano, what does that mean? Sof zekano. That's the end of his zakan. Ve'ezu yisof zekano, shbolet zekano. That's the five peot that were mentioned in the Mishnah. The five peot are considered sof zekano. They call it a shibolet because it's like the whiskers that grow off the beard. It looks like a shibolet by a piece of wheat. By the stalks, you have like the little hair, the stalks have like a little beard growth coming out of it. So they call the beard a shibolet. So basically it is the five spots. As she says, shibolet zakan, Rabbi Rivan again, I'm sorry. Kolehu hamesh peot ekach hashim v'neitin bichlal. Again, so you have to find out exactly where these five spots are. So let's see if we can find out exactly where these five spots are. If we go back to the Mishnah. Go back to the Mishnah on Daf Chaf. If you go back to the Mishnah on Daf Chaf, you will see in the Rivan Shtayim Mikan. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the bottom of Rivan. There he gives you the spots. Shtayim Mikan. Hamesh Peot Yeshul Zakan. There's five spots that the zakan has. Echat lemata min ha'ozen. So again, one underneath the ear. מקום שליחיה תחתון יוצא ומתפרד, by the jawbone, where the jawbone protrudes, that's one spot, on both sides, שם, ושם נקרא פאה, that's called a פאה, בחודו של לחי שבולט לחוץ, because that's where the זקן starts, ששם מתחילת הזקן, וכל מה שנאמר לה, עד הסדעה, בכלל פאת הראש, anything until that point, is considered the פאה of the ראש. Wow, so they're going to Rivan, the pa'ah goes all the way down to the jawbone. Once you get to the jawbone, then you're starting the face. That already is a new pa'ah. That's pa'ah at the zakan. So again, you have two. One on the right side, one on the left side. Ushteh shibbolot. Kol echad mehem lesof ha'lechi. And go all the way down to the bottom of the lechi, the bottom of the jawbone. That's also considered zakan. So those are the other two areas. V'neklah pa'ah ve'achad milemata. That would be the santer. That's by the chin, underneath the chin. So therefore, again, you have the five spots: the two spots where the jaw starts, and the two spots where the jaw ends, and then you have the santer, which is underneath the chin. That's going to be the five spots of the zakan. Okay, read the Rivan before that. Hayav al Rosh. Al Hakafat al Rosh Hayav Shte Malkuyot. On Hakafat of the Rosh, that's the Peot, Hayav 2. The Shte Peot Yeshto la Rosh. There's two sideburns to the Rosh. Shal Rosh Kishte Hatichot Makoba Se'ar Haticha Achat. I mean, the head is made up of two parts. That's where the hair is growing, that's the top of the head. Umakoba Panim. Then you have the face and the beard. That's the second part. And it's connected. And it's connected. How is the top of the head to the face connected? With the side of the ear. Templa. The temples. And that's where the pe'ah is. Shesham sofarosh. That's the end of the top of the head that connects it to the face. Makom chibur ha-pirakim, and it says there's two pe'ot. So you have two pe'ot. Sid'a mikan, one side, and sid'a mikan, v'chayav alehem, shtayim. And you're going to be chayav for each one separately. Afilu netam evat ha'achat b'shtayim. Even if you cut them off simultaneously with both of his hands in one shot, v'afagav d'chad ha-tra'a, kamat, even though you had one ha-tra'a, the guy said, al takif. Is it Acha Pe'ah Ika? Is it Acha Pe'ah Ika? We say the Hatra is going on both. Okay, so that's the din of the Pe'ah, and that's the din of the Pe'ot HaZakan. Baruch Adonai Le'onam. Amen v'amen.